With TikTok ads, our revenue went up $10 million year over year during back-to-school season. Penn Foster is online education. TikTok is great because the reach is incredible for finding a lot of different types of audiences on the platform. Creator content at scale allowed us to easily develop and distribute creator-led ads. Our return on ad spend for TikTok is 21% higher than the next best channel.
Start growing your business today. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTokAds.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit detecttheSOS.com today to learn more.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
Caller number 10 at 800-636-1067. You're going to win two tickets to see the Capitals on Wednesday, November 19th, taking on Edmonton. Connor McDavid is in town to take on the Caps. It's 80s night with the Capitals, and they're turning back the clock to the 80s. For tickets and more event information, go to thefandc.com/contests. This is all courtesy of the Washington Capitals.
Quick question. What are you doing to protect your family's assets? As the exclusive sponsor of our show, the law firm of Condori and Morab can help you draft your last will and testament, set up a living trust, or put together a medical power of attorney. Schedule a free consultation with their attorneys today by visiting kmlawyers.com and be sure to let them know that we sent you. That's kmlawyers.com.
We are in Chantilly at Pupatella Pizza today doing the show, and we're going to be here until 6:30 tonight. Right here on The Fan. So come on out as you get out of the office, as you're working your way back out west from D.C. perhaps. Of course, the shutdown is over, so people are back at the office perhaps in the district today. I'm trying to remember where their desks were. And
yeah, which way do I go? Where do I park?
But as you're getting back out into the Chantilly area, we're right off Route 50. I can see 50 from where we're sitting. In fact, I can hit a golf ball to Route 50 from where we are right now.
And you could. That's actually how far all your shots go. Doesn't
That's
matter
right.
which club you're using, they go exactly that far.
About 180 feet or so?
That's what it is. Yep.
Yards, I think.
Yards, yeah. But
looking for yards. A little under 200 yards probably to the road. But come on out and hang with us. We're here until 6:30 tonight. Let's get to your Beltway Blitz covering the teams in town you care the most about. We start with the Commanders and our buddy Michael Phillips. Michael, Dan Quinn was kind of selling at the beginning of the week that he thought going to Madrid is coming at a perfect time for this team as a bonding experience to get away from the noise. This might be just what the doctor ordered. Are you selling that?
Well, it worked last year, remember? They had that win in Cincinnati, went to Arizona. That kind of launched them into where they were going, spending that week together. They talked about that being a formative thing for the team. I think the vibes are very different this year, and I think he's looking at this as being more of a reset than building on what they had. They didn't have a jolly feel-good training camp. They really didn't come out of it with great vibes. I think he views this as an opportunity to reset, to say, okay, let's build the team again. Let's build those building blocks again. Let's get back to where we were last year, because they have good players on the team. They just haven't been playing well as a team, and they've got to find a way to fix that.
We've been struggling with this question kind of all show long, Michael, in sort of different ways. Like, what if it happens again? What if they get bludgeoned again by another team that isn't very good, which is what started this streak? I mean, I know they lost to Chicago in a close way, but Dallas isn't particularly good. Dallas destroyed them. What if it's like that? What will it all mean?
Well, I think that the fact that Dan Quinn made the change on Monday is really significant in this whole big scheme of things, because, you know, after the game on Sunday, he was it was a down DQ at the post-game press conference, and one of the things you heard him say was, we're going to really look at everything in the bye week. We're going to evaluate everything we do. And I think inside that was like, I understand I have to fire my defensive coordinator during the bye week. And then on Monday, he changes to, I've put Joe Witt on double secret probation. I'm taking over. It's a little bit like the players only meeting, right? Like, you call that before you think you're going to win a game. Remember when they installed Bill Callahan as a coach? It was right before the game against the Miami team that was tanking. You do these kinds of moves and get a win off of them and then count on that kind of multiplying effect. If you lose coming out of the change, it really cranks up the heat on him personally, and I think he knows that.
Grant and Danny on the Fan, Michael Phillips on the Commanders on our Beltway Blitz. How much of this disaster of a season do you blame on injuries as opposed to this thing is actually just not as good as we thought?
Yeah, and before I do, I know you guys are down at Pupatello. We've got that in Richmond, too. I actually got that for my crew at the Richmonder on election night. Very good pizza. So I'll throw that out there. Throw in my vote for the good folks
out there.
You asked about injuries. If they were just regular bad, Grant, I would put a lot of it on injuries. My understanding is nobody's been this bad in a four-game stretch since the 2002 Arizona Cardinals. You can't convince me that other teams haven't had injuries during that stretch, haven't had adversity during that stretch, and yet they are worse than those teams somehow. I think the fact that it is historically bad tells me this is not just about the injuries, but something is going fundamentally wrong here.
What if they break out of it? So let's say they beat the Dolphins, and I don't see a blowout happening, Miguel, but let's say they do. Let's say they win this game, and it's, you know, maybe by a touchdown and change. Call it an eight-point win. What will that mean?
It gives everybody an opportunity to breathe during the bye week. I always say, you know, wins in the NFL are like addition, one, two, three, but losses in the NFL are exponential. They feel exponentially worse than the one before. So by the time you get to your fifth loss, it's like you lost 16 games in one game, right? But any win stops that, puts an end to that, gives everybody a chance to catch their breath. And you're going into a bye week, and you've got arguably a paper giant, you know, Broncos team coming on the other side. If you win, it quiets the noise. It gives you an opportunity to breathe, gives everybody a chance to collect themselves, and maybe generate the faintest semblance of momentum coming into the end of the season here.
What's your prediction for Sunday?
I think they win. I don't think Dan Quinn would make that big of a gamble if he didn't feel good about something here in this matchup. I don't know what that something is. I worry about big plays. I worry about Miami moving the ball 30 yards at a time. I think these guys can run on them. I think they can score enough. It's an international game. They're always random. I don't think Dan Quinn would make this gamble, though, knowing that it's going to be him on the line if they lose. I don't think he'd do it unless he felt good about this. I got the good guys by three.
Michael, thank you as always, buddy. Enjoy the weekend.
Take care, boys.
We will see you, dude. Vic, if you'd be so kind as to hit that NFL sounder, please. Well, Grant and I will do that. We talk about it enough. I feel comfortable doing it with you on the Beltway Blitz, GP. I want to start with this Buccaneers-Bills game. Both teams coming off a loss. The Bucs, not a bad loss. That's at home to New England, but still New England now we kind of feel is pretty bona fide. For the Bills, they're losing to this aforementioned Miami Dolphins team. Both need it. Both are kind of hungry to solidify playoff standing. For the Bills, trying to keep pace with the aforementioned Patriots. How do you see it?
I think that Buffalo gets right in this game. I don't know why or how we get here, but Josh Allen has these inexplicably pedestrian performances. Two or three times a year in an otherwise otherworldly year where he is an MVP candidate, right? And that's kind of where we're at this point, where I think he's coming off of one of those clunkers. It wasn't just him, it was the whole team against Miami. But they've lost three out of five. Go back. They lose to New England. They've lost to Atlanta. That was that terrible primetime performance. I think it was their second worst game of the year with the Miami game. Uh-huh. And now you've lost this one. So they're 2-3 over these five games. I think it's time for them to flip the switch. I think the expectation was that they were going to be a one seed. They were going to kind of coast in the AFC. That Super Bowl was going to go through Orchard Park. And now you look up and you go, wait a second. We're in trouble if we lose this game. We're not going to catch New England. They've got the tiebreaker. They're multiple games ahead of us. We got to start putting hay in the barn. So I like that there's a desperation starting to set in after another Patriots win last night for them. I think they beat the Bucs. I think it's reflected in the betting line.
Yeah, spread's 5.5. Yeah.
The only thing I'll say, though, is the Bills' defense is flawed. Like, that's not getting fixed today, tomorrow, next week. They are a bottom seven or so defense in the league. They've also been ravaged by injuries, and I don't think helps walking through that door between now and this Tampa game.
Yeah, don't look now, but Carolina is a game and a half back of Tampa. Now, I'm not telling you Carolina's any good, but Tampa can't afford to play around too much with that, right? If they're 6-4 after this week, you've got a couple matchups, I think, with Carolina as the season goes. I still think they win that division, but you can't be too trifling in terms of trying to solidify that spot.
I guess, except that the Panthers are a fraud, in my opinion, number one.
I agree with that.
And number two, they still play Atlanta this week, which they probably lose that game. They're underdogs. Then they play San Francisco and the Rams back-to-back before their bye week.
Carolina does?
Yes.
Yeah.
So those are probably two L's. They do get the Saints again, but then they play the Bucs twice in Seattle. So they have one of the harder remaining schedules in the conference. Tampa Bay's actually got an easier schedule the rest of the way, and they're a better team. So I think they'll be okay. Here's a team I'm interested in this week, though. What are the Packers going to do with the Giants as 7-point favorites at the Meadowlands? Green Bay 5-3-1. We thought after that week two dismantling of Washington was going to be one of the better teams in the league.
Yep.
They're just not. I mean, they have a good record, 5-3-1. Thank God for the tie for them, or else they'd be 5-4 and pretty middling in a tough division.
Yeah, since that 5 days to open the season, they are 3-3-1 with a few wretched offensive performances in there.
Two of the losses are as 13-point favorites. They might have the two worst losses of the season. Their loss to Cleveland on the road and then at home against Carolina a couple of weeks ago as a 13-point favorite at the horn on the field goal. Then they played Philly, and the Eagles couldn't move the ball all night. Hurts played horribly for three quarters. They're just waiting for Green Bay to take over the game, and they couldn't do it. Green Bay ends up winning that matchup. Philly ends up winning that matchup because Green Bay just couldn't make a single play as the game went on.
I feel like I'm doing like a Bryant Gumbel bit, where I take off my glasses, and I'm interviewing the interviewer. You know, the guy that does the story on Real Sports, and then he sits down with Bryant Gumbel, and he's going, who are the Packers? That's what this is. Like, at some point, good teams play good, right? And that I saw it early, and I haven't seen it in a while. Like, that to me was a Super Bowl-caliber team that we saw those first couple weeks.
They
haven't come close to that.
Bad, great team or a great, bad team, and I don't know which one it really is.
Yeah.
Other interesting games, Bears-Vikings, NFC North is going to be good. That's a 1 o'clock window game in Minneapolis. If Chicago can beat Minnesota, they'd be 7-3.
7-3.
Sitting in a really good spot to make the playoffs in year one under Ben Johnson. You also have the Ravens playing the Browns. Lamar Jackson, clean bill of health. He's going to be full go this weekend. 4-5 Baltimore at 2-7 Cleveland. You cannot let up in this game. They've got the Browns, the Jets, and the Bengals three straight weeks coming up. They've got to win three in a row, get to six straight, and that would get them to 7-5. And that would be the first time they're probably a playoff team if they can win the next three.
Yeah, that's what it's kind of felt like, right? That the Ravens back themselves in a corner have got to have it each time. Real quick on the Bears, 6-3 with a negative point differential. Usually
their defense stinks.
Usually regression comes knocking, but they're towards the top of the league in turnover margin. They've been excellent in that regard, but it feels like something not sustainable that maybe they start collapsing.
Well, they gave up 42 to the Bengals 2 weeks ago and
that
won.
That seems a lot. Yep.
Somehow. They gave up 30 to the Ravens and a backup quarterback the week before that.
Yep.
They've also given up 52 and 500 yards at one point to Detroit this season.
Yep.
And they've had multiple games where they've missed a dozen or more tackles defensively.
It feels like that.
Other
than that, it's a great unit. Yeah.
Not terrible on that right. side of the ball. Mm-hmm. Let's keep it moving and localize the football discussion. Check in with a sports junkie of sports junkie fame. J.P. Flame of the Junks joins us on Grant and Danny. J.P., greetings from Chantilly, Virginia and Pupatella Pizza. What's up, buddy? How are you?
What's up, boys? That place is awesome. I've been to that spot. Great pizza, good times.
You are a fellow VIP at Pupatella, are you not?
I am. I've actually though only been one time. I went with the whole soccer team during a soccer tournament, but it's a great spot. I think some of the guys frequent it like weekly.
You're talking about Danny.
By
I,
some
right?
guys, you mean Danny Rouye? That's who does.
It could be.
Not to cry poor here, because things are going pretty well for the Rouye and the Paulson show, but you know, we're not the junkies, so we don't have as many VIP cards in our wallets. So when we get one, we take advantage of it, and the good folks at Pupatella have been very kind to us. So, yes, we like to clank that plastic as often as we can on the counters in here, getting some pizza. Rest assured.
Well, don't get me wrong. I'd be doing the same thing. It's just I live in Gaithersburg, and there are none close to me.
Understood. All right, let's talk about the Commanders and the Dolphins. What's your gut feel on this game?
My gut feel is the Miami Dolphins put up 30 points on the Buffalo Bills last week. And who's in the secondary for the Commanders this week? We've got no Trey Amos. Marshawn Lattimore, of course, tore his ACL. You know, even though that these guys weren't necessarily the best. You're down to a bunch of backups. My gut feeling is that the Dolphins are going to put up a bunch of points, that the Dan Quinn move to defensive coordinator is not going to be that impactful. I think the Dolphins are going to be in the 30s and beat the Commanders.
JP, what did you guys make of that? And what did you specifically make of that? The what to me is a little too late, sort of demoting Joe Witt, but still sort of saying he's involved, but now Dan Quinn's in charge of the thing that Joe Witt was in charge of. What did you make of that move in general? What did it mean?
It feels like desperation, right? Window dressing. Dan Quinn a few weeks before said he's in on all of the play calls, and we know he's in on the game planning, so what's going to be the real difference? I'm interested to see if there is a difference, but I don't expect there to be some sort of great transformation of this defense. As you guys know, all these starters are gone. I think six of the opening day starters are out of the lineup. We're down to a bunch of backups. I don't expect there to be some dramatic shift.
Yeah, I was going to say, what do you think happens differently? Like, what changes get made?
You tell me. I mean, again, he was saying a couple weeks ago when he was being asked about this that he's in on all the play calls and stuff. You know, we kind of speculated on the junkies. Well, maybe they'll stunt more. Maybe they'll do this more. You know, the reality is when they play man, they stink. When they play zone, they stink. The talent hasn't been good enough this year.
What do you expect from the offense? I mean, it's not as if the Dolphins could stop you or I, JP. I think that part of things for the team will be okay. Probably not good enough to get to the 30s level that you're talking about, though.
Yeah, you know what I would like to see from the offense? If you look at their three wins this year, they really had success running the football. The first two wins, they had over 200 yards combined. In the win against the Chargers, Kroski Merrick goes for over 100 yards. The Dolphins don't have a great rush defense. This should be a game where they get healthy running the football. That should help the defense, right, if you can use more clock. So that's what I'm looking for them to do offensively. And look, it's been solid when he's been there. He hasn't been great, but he hasn't been terrible. So I think that they can move the ball offensively, run the football. Mariota makes a couple of throws downfield. I'm not even positive who's going to be at receiver besides Debo. And, I mean, it seems like every week they've got a new guy hurt. It's amazing that Treylon Burks is already out of the lineup.
You sleep on Robbie Chosen.
Mm. And Jacoby Jones. They called him
yes.
up too, right?
I think he was like a soccer player for Team USA a bunch of years ago, but now he plays for the Commanders.
He definitely was, by the way.
As well. Is that a good pull by me or what? Come on, U.S. Men's National Team Paulson? That's big time.
Playing with Todd Ramos and all the rest.
Hey, JP.
Did you see the video of, I think it was Matt Gay juggling? That guy's got some skills.
Really?
Silly soccer man.
I'm glad everybody's having a blast out there. I just want to – let's keep the practices loose. You know, let's make sure that –
let's have more vet days for everyone.
No veterans practice on Wednesday, Thursday, or Friday. Let's just make sure everything goes swimmingly.
Keep
huh?
it cash.
I got to tell you, I don't know if you heard this on our show. A couple weeks ago, we asked Vaughn about his practice schedule. You know he only practices one day a week.
I believe that. That's what they do with all of their old guys and all of their
guys. That's what it
looks like. That said, to defend the organization, he said that this has basically been going on in his career since year 5 or 6.
Wow. Well, here's the problem, I think, honestly, and I'm doing a little bit of shtick, but when Zach Ertz gets a rest day and Laremy Tunsil gets a rest day and Vaughn gets a rest day, and that list is like 7, 8 guys deep, the problem is if you have one or two of those guys, cool. When it's kind of a whole roster of those guys,
right.
it just means you don't have real practices at some point.
Yeah. Hey, Danny, I saw you retweet the chart about, I think it was EPA per play on runs.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, you're a youth coach. I coach soccer. Shouldn't they run towards Tunsil's side more if that's
Way more.
Where they have success?
That's one of the only green spaces is that general area. I would do that.
He's pretty good. So you told us what you're predicting already. I guess we'll let you out on this. If they lose this game and they go into the bye, does it change how you feel about bringing Jaden back as the year goes on?
Not really. I think if he is clear and he's healthy to go, he's got to get more reps. This is not some 15-year veteran. He's still in his second year. And you can't just play scared, right? Like people start looking at the schedule and go, oh, well, they play this team and they're atop the league in sacks. At some point, he's got to get out there and he's got to learn to get through games without getting hurt.
JP, you're the best, buddy. Have a great weekend.
All right, guys. Peace.
See you as always.
It's JP Flame, Sports Junkies, brand new program. They got a shot, these guys.
I like the chemistry.
Very young, very raw, very green. don't really know what they're doing, frankly. They don't know a lot about radio.
But you can hear it.
But the talent is there.
There's something to the show.
Far be it for us to belittle a young up-and-coming show. But I'll say this on behalf of, I think, the whole show, you, me, Clary, Toby in Madrid, Darius, we're going to do everything we can to make sure it works for them.
We're going to support them. Right? I mean, you know what I mean? That's what the Brotherhood's all about. You come into the Brotherhood, whether you've been doing it for 5 minutes like them, or you're seasoned, you know, grizzled veterans like you and I.
The 106.7, the Fan Brotherhood.
106.7, the Fan-mily.
Yes.
The Fan-mily.
The Fan-mily.
You see what I did?
106.7, the Fan-mily.
The Fan-mily.
That's really good, actually.
Thank you.
He's Danny, I'm Grant. This is the Fan. Let's go over, under. We'll bring Dad in next. We're going to go with some player props for the Commanders and the Dolphins. We going over or under? That's next on G&D.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that go from work days to weekends and everywhere in between. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. With 25 sizes, 5 lengths, and 6 denim brands, you've got options. And fit experts in every store to make jean shopping easier. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
With TikTok ads, our revenue went up $10 million year over year during back-to-school season. Penn Foster is online education. TikTok is great because the reach is incredible for finding a lot of different types of audiences on the platform. Creator content at scale allowed us to easily develop and distribute creator-led ads. Our return on ad spend for TikTok is 21% higher than the next best channel.
Start growing your business today. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTokAds.
I'm done with subscriptions. Streaming, fitness, razors, vitamins. I've got subscriptions for everything in my life. They lock you in, and half the time, I can't figure out how to unsubscribe. That's why I'm so excited about the new Blue Apron. Now you can get delicious meals delivered with no subscription needed, including new pre-made options. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first 2 orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Grant and Danny, we're out in Chantilly today at Pupatella Pizza. Come on out and hang with us. We'll be here until 6:30. Show's brought to you by the law firm Condori and Murad. We're talking a lot of football, and our football conversation on The Fan is presented by Paramount Plus. You can't count on much, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Watch your local NFL game live every Sunday all season long. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. When we're at Pupatella, we don't order anything. But somehow we eat from the moment we get here till when we are rolled out the door.
I mean, oh my God.
It's apparently dessert time.
It is, yeah. So the tiramisu, the cannolis are here. And I don't know what this thing's called, but here's what they do. They bring you some pizza dough, but it's like super light. It's lighter than normal pizza dough. It's wrapped up, powdered sugar with Nutella on it. It's like funnel cake, but like roided up. It's the best. And I pummeled gelato.
Funnel cake, if you put Nutella chocolate right on top of it.
Right, and it's pizza also.
With powdered sugar and Darius, you're eyeing this like you're going to hurt it.
Darius, you're going to have to do it.
I'm just going to move this over here.
Put it right in front of him.
I'm good. I gotta make sure I'm ready for the segment. I can't consume food. While
the way
I'm,
you were looking at it was
no.
I felt bad.
Mean, believe me, it looks delicious. I'm not going to deny that.
I felt bad for the fried dough.
I know
that was not a good way to look at anything.
Fried dough. He's over there looking at us. He's going to take us down.
He's going to do it. I swear it. You just heard from Darius. It is time to bring him in now for our over/under segment. We do every single week ahead of Commanders football. He took a look at the FanDuel projections. We're going to find out how we think the game plays out. Get a feel for a game script here. Play a little over/under.
What's up, boys? Thanks for having me out here at Pupatella in Chantilly with you. Let's start with QB1 for the Commanders. Unfortunately, QB1's not Jaden Daniels. It is Marcus Mariota this week. FanDuel has him set at 202.5 passing yards, over or under.
He's been really close to this mark, pretty much. I'm going to say under, but by a smidge. I think it's like a 198 kind of situation. I think he runs a little bit. I think the run game gets going a little bit. I just don't think there's enough downs, not enough first downs, not enough big strike plays to go over that, despite how bad Miami's defense is.
He's going to go over that, actually. 202 yards. He went for 213 last week against Detroit. He went for 213 in Kansas City against the Chiefs. And he went over 200 against the Raiders as well. So in more of his starts than not, he's hit the over. And I think Miami's got a really flawed defense with a pretty suspect secondary. So let's go over for Marcus Mariota. I do think Washington's going to be able to move the football, which is maybe a precursor for some of my answers here.
The opposing quarterback is Tua Tagovailoa. They have him set at 233.5.
Over.
Over.
And it
over.
Doesn't really matter what they would have set it at, under 300. I mean, you've got no Trey Amos. You've got no Marshawn Lattimore. So you think about how bad and porous this secondary's been, and now you take the top two cornerbacks out of the equation. Who is playing corner on this team? Remember last week, all week long, we debated, should they move Mikey Sanders still out of the nickel to the boundary because they were without one of their starters? And they said, no, we want to keep him in the nickel. That's our best way forward. Well, now they lost their other starter for the rest of the season. Both of those guys are out for the year. So now I don't think you have a choice. I think you probably have to move Mikey Sanders still out of the nickel. And then you've got to play a lot of Jonathan Jones, Noah Igbinoghene in and outside. I just there's not a path forward here for them to have a really good plan against Jaylen Waddle.
So even – the answer's over, by the way. But even in their wins recently, here's the argument against him going over. He hasn't been that prolific throwing the football. They've run it so well. He's been really efficient, only throwing, 20, 21 times. And he's connecting on a couple touchdowns, but Achane has gone nuts. They've run it really well, et cetera. I expect some of that, but there's just too many big plays available against this stupid, dumb defense with this atrocious secondary. He goes over that number.
Moving on to the rushing totals, you hear this guy every Tuesday at 5 o'clock right here on the Grant Danny radio program. Bill Kroski-Merritt, 32.5 rushing yards.
I love Bill. Under. They can't run the ball. That run game is broken. I don't know what happened. I think somebody left a play sheet somewhere, or people know what the calls are, etc. I expect the ball to move through maybe some RPOs in the pass game, some Mariota runs, etc. I don't think the ground game gets going. I think they'll try to satisfy all the people that just yell, run the dang ball. But that run game, I've seen enough. They can't do it.
You said 32?
32.5.
That's really low. Way over. Definitely over. He's averaged over that over the last month while they weren't running the ball. Not by much, by the way. I mean, 38, 30, 33 yards in three of his last four games here. But this is like the part of the season where they haven't run it and Danny's mad about. He's accidentally gotten to that total. And they're playing a worse run defense than Detroit or Seattle or Kansas City. Really, since they played Dallas, they haven't played a team this bad. And he was over against Dallas in a game where they stopped running the football because they were down by a lot. So he'll go over. I guess my question is usage. What is the role comparative to Chris Rodriguez? I think Rodriguez, if he's healthy enough to go, starts. You battering ram him in the first drive or two. Then you bring in Bill as your change of pace speed guy. So you kind of start with the Thunder, then you go to the Lightning. And it has worked better, for the record. You know, when they started using Bill exclusively, when he was getting all the carries, I think it took away some of what he does really well, and that burst didn't mean as much. It's like bringing in a guy throwing 100 after your starter was a lefty throwing a bunch of looping breaking balls. I think it'll be effective against the Dolphins because their defense isn't very good.
Chris Rodriguez was a full participant in practice all week, doesn't have an injury designation going into the game. FanDuel has him set at 37.5.
Higher than Bill.
Yeah.
That is interesting. I'll go under that. Now, he got hurt last week, or else he probably would have led them in carries significantly. But what does that look like? I think the whole point of Rodriguez is they're using him to set up Bill for more success. They're not majoring in Chris Rodriguez. So to me, it's like 7 to 10 carries. That would mean he's got to average 5 to 7 a pop, which, unless he hits a big one, to Danny's point, is hard to do. So I would go under that because I still think Bill's going to lead them in touches.
I got under. Last week, 6 for 16. I think more of that. I think it's a early down, we're going to wind up and punch you as hard as we can in the stomach and, you know, maybe get a couple yards in a cloud of dust just to kind of show it so we can do other stuff.
The quarterback also has a rushing total set at 24.5. That's Marcus Mariota, over or under.
I like the over for that one. I think there's enough scramble. I think there's enough design. He's so good at that, you know, late pull down keeper on the read option type look. I think it, all it takes is one 12 or 13 yarder, and you're, you know, more than halfway there. Whoa, whoa, living on a prayer. So I think that he'll end up going over that total just by virtue of a couple scrambles and one hit on a quarterback run.
I'll go under because he's been under in all but two games that he's played in this season, and one of the two where he was over, he was just barely over, and that was on, like, a bunch of carries. But I think that they're going to have enough success running the ball with their backs for the first time in several weeks. They may not lean as heavily into Mariota design stuff. I think Danny's right, though. You're talking about one pull on read option where he keeps the ball to get 15, 18, 19 yards, and now he slams the over. But assuming, you know, his long is 7 to 9 or something, I think it's like 4 carries for low 20s, mid-20s yards.
Is it me, or does every time Mariota run in a game, he has to find one run where he tries to hurdle somebody?
He's a hurdler.
And he is a hurdler.
It's his default. You know the guy that always does the spin move in Madden?
Of course.
Right,
yeah.
You've kicked him out of your league before. But, like, that guy, it's like, oh, I'm going to do it. Like, he just overspin moves. And it's like, I know it's coming, dude.
You remember the movie Knocked Up with Seth Rogen?
Sure, yeah.
The dice move. It's his dice move.
Yeah, it's his dice move.
He's
got
the one move in the open field.
It's his only move.
But Danny kind of hit on this. Marcus Mariota is exceptional at read option. They really should dial those faders up when he's in the game, because I'm not sure anybody in the league is better at the mesh point, reading it out, riding it down the line of scrimmage. Like, he is awesome at it. He'd be the kind of guy that could teach a – if he did the tight end U thing in the offseason, but it was like
– read option U.
Mesh point U. He could just teach that, and quarterbacks from all over the league would travel by horseback or whatever to go see him give his spiel.
Let's get shirts made of that. Let's move to the receiving totals. Debo Samuel is currently wide receiver one. They have him set at 49.5.
I like the under. Again, I don't think he's himself. If this was first half of the season, Debo Samuel, pre-heel injury Debo Samuel, or whatever, when the offense had some threats, Debo Samuel, I would hammer the over on this one. The way his utilization, or the way he was being utilized, rather, throughout this whole season, you would say there's the occasional bit of downfield. This is just nothing but jet sweeps into seven people, a pop pass into seven people, the occasional bubble screen, and maybe a shallow cross. There's not much available for him right now.
He has not exceeded this total in 5 weeks. And he's only played in 4 of those games. But his last over 49 yards was at the Chargers way back on October 5th. So to Danny's point, it's been broken. Is that the heel? Is that the play calling? Is he, anytime he struggles, it seems like everybody asks, is he in football shape? Like, whatever those questions are that pop up. But actually, I'm going to go over. I've got the 230 to 40-yard passing day already dialed up. I don't think Marcus Mariota gets there without Debo putting up numbies. It's not going to be because Robbie Chosen and Jacoby Jones both go for 93 yards or something. So I'm going to say Debo, we get to, you know, 6 catches for like 63 yards or something. He has his best game since that game in L.A. way back in October.
Jalen Lane showed he could stretch the field last week with a big catch downfield. They have him set at 23.5 receiving yards.
You know, I'm in on Jalen Lane overs. I think they got to use him going vertically. And this is – I mentioned this earlier in the show. I think this is the craziest stat that I'll drop a couple times today. But Mariota's percentage of throws 10-plus yards downfield, at a 42% clip, he pushes the ball beyond 10. To me, he and Jalen Lane should be able to make some sweet music. There haven't been a lot of opportunities because when Mariota's played, the way that the receiving depth has gone, it's not like it's the Jalen Lane show typically. That's been more of a Jaden Daniels thing with some of the stacked up injuries on the depth chart. But it takes one opportunity to get him going vertically. And you saw the vertical passing game last week return. They had 3 30-plus yard catches, including one to Lane on that deep post route. I'm going over. I think they like what they found there, and they trust him a little more after seeing him win on a post, make a contested catch.
Nope. I got an under. I wish. I hope. I want it to happen. I want that breakout. I want something dependable. I want something consistent beyond the kickoff foibles and fumbles and things. He's their best chance at downfield.
because he's got the most wheels, got the most giddy up, got the most burst. I just don't see it happen.
Based on the math so far, I think Danny's got him going for like 119 yards in the game.
Now you're starting to feel the vibe. I mean,
they are playing the number 27 defense in the National Football
League. Dallas was ranked lower when they played.
One more receiving prop for the Commanders. That would be tight end Zach Ertz. Over under false start set at 2.5. No, 43.5 receiving yards.
Under on the false starts, he will do two. It was at 43.5?
43.5
receiving. Not doing a bit. I just think a little bit under there. He'll get his five catches for 33, 34 yards. I don't see anything dynamic enough to get over.
I'll say under that. That seems high to me, by the way. I have to look up the numbers now. Did the Dolphins get destroyed by tight ends? Why is that number so high? He has not been, you know, over that consistently all season. He's got, since week two overs, maybe? That number? The last 2 weeks, I guess, they've gotten him going. 4 for 46 against Seattle, 4 for 54 against Detroit, so maybe that's the reflection of that. And to his credit, you know, last year was the second half of the year where he came to life, barreling down the stretch with 7 catch, 70-yard games. Of course, NFC Championship game, I think he caught 11 or 12 passes, something like that. I'm going to go under, though. I think it's probably, like Danny said, I'm going to say like 5 catches for 40 yards or something.
And then over under on 2.5 false starts?
Under that.
Good, good.
I'm going to say 0 to 1 false start. Because it's basically, it's a neutral site game, but it's certainly not a road game. The way it sounds, Toby Altizer, our Odyssey insider from Madrid, said it's like 4 to 1 walking the streets of Commanders fans to Dolphins fans. I think it's going to feel more like a home game. Not that that stops Zach Ertz.
I was going to say, he does it at home, too, really well. Yeah. It's not a noise thing. It's a never practice thing.
He's one of the many veterans that doesn't practice a whole lot. Damn. Is that all we got?
That will be it.
Over under for the Commanders and the Dolphins. All right, let's go around the NFL next. Who is feeling the heat? We're looking at coaches and quarterbacks who have to show up in week 11 live from Pupatella Pizza in Chantilly. It's Grant and Danny on the Fan.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or dsw.com.
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that go from work days to weekends and everywhere in between. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. With 25 sizes, 5 lengths, and 6 denim brands, you've got options. And fit experts in every store to make jean shopping easier. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
Think advertising on TikTok isn't for your business? Think again.
We've generated over 100,000 leads, which has converted into over 40,000 sales for our pet insurance policies. My name is Trey Farrow. I am the CEO of Spot Pet Insurance. TikTok's Smart Plus AI-powered automation takes the guesswork out of targeting, bidding, and optimizing creative. If I can advertise on TikTok, you can too.
Drive more leads and scale your business today, only on TikTok. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTokAds.
I'm done with subscriptions. Streaming, fitness, razors, vitamins. I've got subscriptions for everything in my life. They lock you in, and half the time, I can't figure out how to unsubscribe. That's why I'm so excited about the new Blue Apron. Now you can get delicious meals delivered with no subscription needed, including new pre-made options. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first 2 orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
G&D on the Fan. We're out at Pupatella Pizza in Chantilly. We're hanging out until 6:30. If you're somewhere along Route 50, come on out and hang with us. We're going to scout the opponent. Take a dive into the Miami Dolphins coming up with Leroy Horde, who covers the team for Odyssey Miami, in about 10 minutes right here on the Fan. But let's go around the NFL ahead of Week 11, try to figure out who is feeling the heat. I would say for now, specific to Washington and Miami, Commanders were in the NFC Championship game last year. You got a backup quarterback playing. There's nobody on their field, staff, roster feeling the heat. You would have said a few weeks ago, Mike McDaniel on the precipice of being fired, Tua maybe on the verge of being benched or no longer being the future answer there. But because McDaniel survived, they blew out Chris Greer, their GM. Because Tua has hung 30-plus in wins two of the last 3 weeks now, I think those guys are off the hot seat. So I don't think this is a game where anybody's really feeling a whole lot of heat.
I would tend to agree with you on that front, just because Miami's got similar injury bad luck to Washington. They don't have much, and they played better football lately. And you're right about Dan Quinn's deposit from last year.
Panthers-Falcons, here's one for you.
There's some heat here, so I was going to bring up.
So first of all, Raheem Morris is starting to get a lot of tough questions, and understandably so. It's been multiple years. The Falcons are 3-6. They disappointed last year after the Cousins injury, completely fell off. This year they go to Penix. They've been even worse. Their offense is broken. Their coordinator, Zach Robinson, is up against it and may be without a gig at the end of this season if things don't change. But I would throw Michael Penix on this list, not as a starter in the league in year two, but you look at the rest of the quarterback class.
Uh-huh.
Drake May's unbelievable. Had a primetime performance last night. He's everybody's darling. He's an MVP candidate. Jaden Daniels was in a conference championship game last year. Looks like a franchise quarterback. Bo Nix was a Pro Bowler a year ago, taking a huge step back. But he has played at a high level for the vast majority of the first year.
Yeah, he'll get a pass. QB of an 8-2
Absolutely.
Team. Yeah.
But you go one by one. Like, J.J. McCarthy's had some big moments.
Yep.
What is Michael Penix's signature at this point?
It's not a great sample. And with that press conference this week that everybody's, you know, overposting the memes of, where he's basically like, I'm alone on an island. And he's like doing a student art film,
yeah,
looking out the window in the rain.
How did you take that? For people that don't know, he was asked, like, who do you go to get counsel right now when things aren't going great? And it was a layup to talk about Raheem Morris or Zach Robinson. I took that as a direct shot at his OC and his head coach.
I thought so, but it wasn't. It was anybody. You know, like, where's your quarterback coach? Where's the other quarterback in the room? Where's a veteran wide receiver? Where's your Tony Gonzalez, like a tight end or somebody that's been around?
That's a good point.
There's like, nobody?
You've got a veteran in Kirk Cousins there who you see with him on the sidelines all the time.
Right.
He didn't bring up Kirk. Yeah, the whole thing was very, very strange. But if you're Raheem, you're probably going to see him at practice the next day and go, hey, bud.
Hey, bud.
What are you talking about?
You want to text me? Like, if there's something going on, please tell me. But, yeah, that was just given all that's happened. Again, if they were 6-3, no one would have cared. But they're not. They've lost four straight, three of those by double digits, which seems crazy.
Who would do that?
Who would do something like that?
Chargers and Jaguars in Jacksonville, 1 o'clock on Sunday. So Liam Cohen is in year one, and Liam Cohen is very much comfortable in his status as the head coach there. But here's why he's feeling some heat. All of the early season coach of the year noise and this guy's a rock star stuff that people like me were saying, the bloom is off the rose a little bit here. They were 4-1 and rolling. They have lost three of their last four. Back-to-back losses to good teams in Seattle and L.A. But they have subsequently lost to the Texans and barely beat the Raiders. They've lost Travis Hunter for the season. If you're Liam Cohen, you want to finish this season strong so that you're not starting next year with major questions about how good you are.
Well, the year began with that group forcing 13 turnovers in four games, more than three per game. They've got a total of four in the five games since then. That's the difference, as it's all come crashing down, VH1 Behind the Music style. With there's no shame in losing in back-to-back weeks to Seattle and the Rams. I think a lot of teams would. But that eke-out win over the Raiders, a galling comeback loss to the Texans, and, yeah, the bloom was off the rose a little bit here for the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Texans, Titans. Houston's 4-5. I think D'Amico Ryans is fine. He had a great first year, mediocre second year. So far, it's been a bad third year. It's definitely going in the wrong direction there. But he's proven, in my opinion, culture builder, leader of men,
yep,
defensive-minded, could be an answer, that kind of, you know, long-term head coach. The Titans, who have already fired Brian Callahan, I think they've got a quarterback on a warming seat. Cam Ward's going to get some leash, as he should. He's going to be able to start into next season. My God, are his numbers awful.
Yes, they are.
Nine career starts now, nine games in. They've won one time. He's completing 57% of his passes. He's got more picks than touchdowns. There's not really a precedent for a young QB having this bad of a first nine games in this era and becoming a really good quarterback. Like, that's how bad it's been.
You feel for the guy. I mean, because it's, you know, we talk about this all the time in years past when Washington would need a quarterback. And you would go, how many of these guys, the Achilles Smiths, the Joey Harringtons, the name that guy that we think of as a punchline now, the Tim Couches of the world, who got drafted high, went to terrible teams, terrible orgs. I mean, this is the same place where Mike Vrabel lost a tug of war with the GM who got fired like an hour and a half later. And then a coach got fired too. Like, the whole thing's a mess. Could anybody thrive there? Maybe the once-in-a-generation lightning strike. Maybe your Brady could have, or your Manning could have, or, you know, somebody special. But unless you're superhuman and just regular good, we'll never know if Cam Ward could have been great or not. He's in a terrible spot. I also know that he hasn't played well. It's really hard to figure, but yeah, they're in a mess.
Bears at the Vikings, 6-3. Chicago, 4-5. Minnesota, 1 o'clock kick in Minneapolis. J.J. McCarthy needs a good one. He had a very strong showing in his return against Detroit. They won 27-24. But he did the heavy lifting in the first quarter of that game, and as the day went on, he got more pedestrian. And then against the Ravens, I thought he really struggled. Threw two interceptions in that game. They lost 27-19. McCarthy is in his infancy as a starter.
Yep.
He's had a couple of signature comeback wins early in the season in week one against the Bears, and then the Lions' performance was also really, really good in a very small sample. That carries you for a little while, but if you stack some bad ones too, I think there's going to be some questions, and there's plenty of that on the resume also.
Does it feel to you like he'll just never be a good numbers guy? Like, in other words, he should be putting up prolific numbers. You got Justin Jefferson. You got Jordan Addison. You're in a Kevin O'Connell system. You should walk out there completing 70% of your passes for a couple hundred yards and two touchdowns every week just because you get out of bed. It just feels like it's just he'll win more games maybe and do a couple heroic things like kind of a rich man's Taylor Heineke. He'll die for the pylon and the like. But it just feels like to me he'll never be the guy that turns a corner and is one of those franchise stalwart superstar 300 yards and three touchdowns per week.
I think it's too early for me because it's been like four games with a lot of injuries.
It's so early and unfair what I'm saying.
I mean, so Cam Ward, nine games in, has a sample size over twice as big at this point,
yep.
Right? Give me another three or four games to have a better feel. But I get what you're saying. I mean, I think that was the style at Michigan, and I could see if the Vikings want to be a heavy run-influence team that's more play-action shots and, you know, you're not going to throw for 300 a week, I could see them leaning into that with McCarthy. All right, next, let's scout the Dolphins. Let's find out about this Miami team the Commanders have to deal with on Sunday. We're going to check in with a colleague who works at Odyssey Miami. We'll do that as soon as we return. We're also going to be giving away Caps tickets right at the top of the hour after this commercial break right here on 106.7 The Fan.
Think advertising on TikTok isn't for your business? Think again.
We've generated over 100,000 leads, which has converted into over 40,000 sales for our pet insurance policies. My name is Trey Farrow. I am the CEO of Spot Pet Insurance. TikTok's Smart Plus AI-powered automation takes the guesswork out of targeting, bidding, and optimizing creative. If I can advertise on TikTok, you can too.
Drive more leads and scale your business today, only on TikTok. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detectthesos.com to learn more.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.